We are in the studio tonight with Milwaukee's Keith Pulvermacher, guitarist, songwriter, singer extraordinaire, and he is with us for a little while before he goes off to his gig here in downtown Milwaukee. Keith is undertaking a somewhat daunting task, haven't you? This Midwestern music project of yours. This is something I guess you have been wanting to do for a long time, all this music you've had on a shelf somewhere?
Well, I've been writing consistently over the last 15 years and just collecting songs, and I've been recording a lot of these songs and experimenting a lot with the recordings and working with a lot of friends of mine. It's taken some time, I think, to capture the songs necessarily than just recording them. And it was important for me to put out something that was just honest and very genuine, rather than, you know, too produced or too, I don't know, just not really indicative of what I would sound like live.
Mm-hmm. What pushed you finally, I don't want to say over the edge, but what gave you the final push to go ahead and move forward with something like this? Because you had a lot of accumulated material.
Well, I think, life in general, I found myself in a position that I had to, it was just time. It was time to just push it out there and push it out of the gates. And I found myself in a spot where I needed to start building my own brand rather than, just be attached to other labels that I have been, because I've been playing with other bands and other people and supporting a lot of other people. And I found myself in a position it's just time. You can't wait, and I don't want to wait. I wanted to put the music out there, and I've been wanting to put the music out there. And I think the pieces of the puzzle just fell into place that I needed to fall into place, mm-hmm, for it to happen. So I just kind of was paying attention to the signs that I felt were given to me. I don't know. I mean, it might sound cosmic or whatever, but that's really, mm-hmm, sometimes you just go, you know, when the time is.
Well, let me ask you a less cosmic question then. You mentioned some of the stuff is as much as 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Recording it now or listening back to it now, does it stand up in 2014? Do you still get the message you intended, say, in 2002? Is it going to stand up in 2024? How are you going about making it a non-time-stamped piece of music?
Well, I think it lies in the craft. It lies in the craft of songwriting, and it lies in the craft of how I play. So, absolutely, I think one of my huge goals as a songwriter and as a somebody who wants to leave a stamp on my music and on the time that I've been on the planet is to write something that's timeless. So I've written songs about my daughters, who aren't just about my daughters, it's about everybody else's daughter. Writing songs about, like Old Dirt Road, which is a song about my grandpa's house, and preserving a perspective. So I guess that's my focus as a songwriter, is to write stuff that's timeless. And I really try to focus on emotion, the primal things that make people feel, whether it's love or, you know, your children or your parents or your grandparents, or just, I try to reach into the hearts and the souls of anybody, really, and make them feel something that I think is going to be poignant to my great-great-grandkids. Well, I'll be long gone, but mm-hmm, that's what I try to write about.
Well, you mentioned Old Dirt Road. Happen to have that queued up right here. And there is a little bit of a backstory to this. You mentioned it was about your grandfather's house.
Yes.
But you were inspired by actually going there and seeing it again.
I just got back from England. I went to a friend of mine's wedding in the UK, and everything over there is 2,000 years old. And so this house is just north of Madison, and my dad took me down this road, and right at the end of the road is this house that my grandpa grew up in, and the old barn is still there. And my dad was telling me about how my Aunt Melanie, my grandpa's sister, fell out of the second story window when she was 4 years old. She's 102 now. But the house is still there, and it's really more, this was inspired about preserving what we have here in America, because it's only 300 or so years old. And instead of tearing it down and putting up strip malls instead, but really finding the importance and the romance in the history that we've created for ourselves.
Well, let's listen to it. This is Old Dirt Road. It's Keith Pulvermacher, our guest tonight. This is WUWM at Night.
They want to tear down with the 1947 Chevrolet. Hasn't moved since the day he passed away. And she said she wouldn't sell that car. It can rust out there in the backyard. It reminds her of the memories long ago. Down that old dirt road, old tower swing where they used to play. Works as good now as it did in those days. And the kids would sit around the radio, and they'd listen to their favorite mystery show. And the dusty shoes that walked on these dirty floors carried happy souls that ran through those swinging doors in this old farmhouse built 100 years ago. Down that old dirt road. That old car when it still looked brand, and the day that tire swing was made, the whole family had a picnic in the shade, and it's sad to think that they don't see what that old farmhouse still means to me. I would play with Grandpa in the yard, and he'd let me drive around in that old car. And the dusty shoes that walked on these dirty floors carried happy souls that ran through those swinging doors in this old farmhouse built 100 years ago. Dusty shoes will still walk these floors. The happy souls will run through those doors. And the tired swing will see another day. I've restored that 47 Chevrolet. And all the grandkids will play in the yard. And I let them drive around in that old car. It reminds me of the memories long ago down that old dirt road. It reminds me of the memories long ago down that old dirt road. Down that old dirt road.
Pretty tasty stuff there from our guest, Keith Pulvermacher, in the studio with us tonight. This is WUWM at night. That's called Old Dirt Road. Keith is in the midst of the Midwestern Music Project. And Keith, you went to a crowdsourcing campaign to attempt to help fund this project, going to the fans. It's still ongoing. I want to ask you, though, a lot of people are doing that. Do you see that as the way of the future? And is it more satisfying than it is nerve-wracking or humbling?
I think it's amazing, really. I didn't really want to do it, to be honest with you. I mean, I was kind of pushed by some friends because they wanted to find a way for me to get this music out. And so I was talking to them about, you know, well, it takes this and this and this. And, you know, I got two little girls and a wife to provide for. And, you know, groceries and yes, mortgage payments come before making music. So I had a lot of people just pushing me to do it, and I've been playing these original songs out live for years. And so they said, well, why don't you just try it? Why don't you just, you know, throw it up there and see what happens? And so that's what I did. And to be honest with you, I have been completely amazed and humbled by not just the contributions financially to help make this happen, but the words that people have said, and how much it means to them and how much I mean to them. I told my wife that I felt like I should, I don't know if I'm going to die soon because I should only hear this at my funeral. But it's been really, really, it's been a beautiful thing. It's been and so nerve-wracking, I don't know, there's other things to be nervous about, you know, and I don't feel like this is one of them. I you could be nervous, but I don't know. I mean, if somebody gave $10, I think it'd be like, oh, great, thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, we do that. We're on the air here asking for money. You know,
right. Yeah. Well, I started thinking about it like an NPR or like a, you know, box of Thin Mints, to be honest with you. You know, it's just helping me to, and the more money I can raise, I mean, I can put out more music. That's what I want to do. And mm-hmm. and then I guess everybody wins because people do want this,
exactly,
want these songs.
And they get a little perk and they know that they, you know, help you do this. So that's
absolutely, it's really been a humbling, awesome, like, joint experience with my, I don't even like calling them fans because they're just supporters of mine. And the word fans to me just, I don't know, they're supporters. They're people who are supporting what I do. And I feel like without them, it's really, I'll just be playing with myself.
Well, if you want,
no pun intended, but kind of pun intended.
Yeah, I understand. You'll be playing in front of a mirror.
That's yeah, yeah, and that, you know, that only gets you so far.
Well, let's get out of this and do another song, shall
right.
we? I like this one. This is my personal choice. Peter Thomas from I'm Not a Pilot plays cello on this with you. It's called I Want to Love.
Yes.
Cool song.
Thanks.
Any story behind this one?
No, I think I don't know where this one came from. Mm-hmm. I just wrote it just trying to convey a message about love and life and wanting to feel things and get things out of life without, there's a line in the song, I won't pay for good intentions if the honesty is not for you, but I'll give you everything back that you offer up to me. I think it's kind of symbolic of this, you know, crowdfunding thing, mm-hmm. too. I mean, that's why I kind of decided to put it on the record, is specifically because of that mm-hmm. lyric in the song.
It's a great song, too. Keith Pulvermacher, Peter Thomas, this is I Want to Love.
I want to love that you don't find every day. I want to love, love, love that don't always come your way. I won't pay for good intentions if the honesty's not free, but I'll give you everything back that you offer up to me. Oh, oh, to live so I can find my place. In a world of misdirection, I have lost myself again, trying to make a new connection where I can just begin. Oh, was never quiet for me. I think some inner peacefulness is what could set me free. Oh, oh. I want to love, love, love. I want to love. I want to love, love, love. I want to love.
I Want to Love, Keith Pulvermacher with Peter Thomas from I'm Not a Pilot on Cello. Keith is our guest in the studio here for a few more minutes, and we got to kick him out. He's got a gig to play tonight. And Keith, you make your living as a full-time musician, and there's not a lot of people around here that can actually say that. A lot of people have side jobs, day jobs, are more weekend warrior kind of musicians, and you play out very often. And do you ever worry about burning out your home market?
Well, no, I think that I definitely think about it for sure. You know, and I think the biggest key to that is just giving them something fresh and, you know, creating more music. Or, you know, there's a lot of obviously cover bands in town that just keep going and keep going. And I will say that I think that the Milwaukee market is very loyal. But I think that the key, especially with original material, is to continue to create. And if you do that and you look at bands like the Bodines and the Femmes, and, you know, people keep coming back because they're great songs. And you give them great songs, and I think that you can build on something that's really very loyal here in Milwaukee.
You mentioned a couple of the greats of Milwaukee music history, I guess, in the past 30 years,
yeah,
with the Femmes and the Bodines. What's happening around here now? We seem to have a resurgence in awareness of Milwaukee music. Are you sensing that, or because you're too busy, you know, playing and managing your own career to notice what's going on around you? But those of us on the outside kind of see something.
It is hard to know, because I am playing every, you know, four nights a week. And I think another thing, too, is just diversification. Like, if I'm doing stuff with my friend Grace Weber or Joe Richter or Jason Mason, it doesn't matter who I'm playing with. I'm doing a lot of different things with a lot of different people. But it's hard for me to pay attention to everything in the scene. I try to. And to stay connected, you know, through the social media, I think that there's a lot of great, amazingly talented people everywhere. I do this thing up in Marshfield, too, this Vox Concert Series, which brings in a lot of singer-songwriters like Ernie Halter and Tony Luca and some people in from Minnesota and Minneapolis and from L.A. And I see that I just think that people are sick of feeling numb. I think they want to feel something. I think that they want to be connected. And I think that with social media, and I think with the crowdfunding, a lot of the way things are happening, that it's not shoved. People are choosing what they want to hear. And it's not because they're force-fed stuff out of the radio. There's so many avenues that they get to hear what they want to. And getting introduced to so many new kinds of music through the streaming sites and everything else, that that there's so much out there and they get to pick what it is. So,
well, you're part of that quality scene around here, and we appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate to hear that.
And, you know, we want to do all we can to boost not only the people that play the music here, but the image of the city itself.
Well, we need guys like you to help us do that. So thank you also.
A little bit that we do.
Well, it's important, man.
There used to be a T-shirt that said, "I'm from Milwaukee, and that's not funny." I think we can get rid of those now because people can take us seriously.
Absolutely.
Now. Keith Pulvermacher, we'll get you out of here. Over to your gig tonight. The Midwestern Music Project will be out before we know it, right?
March 28th it will be released.
Excellent. So we'll be looking for that and all the music that's going to be involved with that. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Bruce.
By. Okay,
all
see
right.
ya.